Cool. Hey, everybody. I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. We are at Third Man Records in Nashville, right? And I am with Madison Cunningham. Madison, so good to meet you.
It's good to meet you, too.
I've just been doing a deep dive on you, watching all this stuff online. And, God, you play these really interesting, complex rhythmic parts and sing over it. I don't know how you do it. Like, they're really, it's really complex and weird, and I don't know how you do it.
Well, I don't either. I black out.
That's the best.
I'm not myself anymore when it happens.
Right. Yeah, I love it. So how did you, how did you develop this whole thing?
I remember specifically there was a family friend of mine named Danny Donnelly, who is still one of my favorite guitar players, and I watched him do a set of his own music as a kid. I was probably 10. And he played this one song that had a very complicated but very fluid guitar part happening, and he was singing a different thing over it. And I remember just thinking, like, that's kind of defying gravity, and just thought it was so cool. And then it kind of was my mission to, like, figure out how to do that. And, of course, now it's my mission to make sure that I don't do that too much. I don't want to be known or, like,
sure.
I'm afraid of, because it's hard to play music like that and have it feel fluid. There's so much work, so much practice that has to go in before that. And I'm now on the mission to, like, how do I practice, but, like, don't feel like I have to practice just these set of songs to be good at those songs. Like, yeah. I want songs that play themselves more is what I'm trying to say. But that being said, I'm so fascinated with the way that the instrument works and all the different ways it can be played, and there's so many different rhythms and finger picking styles and way things that are actually complicated to do and sing at the same time, but maybe aren't as showy.
Yeah.
But it's like I'm interested in how do you play guitar in a way that sounds like a river, something that's just kind of, or has a motor, it's just flowing.
Sure. Well, that's what's so deceiving about it, because in listening to it, it sounds so fluid that, but when you try and reproduce it, it's like, man, this is complex.
Yeah.
There's just a lot going on there.
Yeah.
And okay, let's start with the tuning. You're down to C, is that?
This is actually B, but let's see if it'll tell
me. Way down there.
Yeah, this is, the tuning is B, F sharp. This is what it says here. C sharp, E, G sharp, and then back to B. So it's kind of this like suspended chord.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to figure out how the tuning worked. And I couldn't figure it out until a song started to happen.
Sure.
Which is kind of, I think, how I understand music, is through the lens of the flow of a song.
Yeah.
And then everything else kind of, it raises its hand. And I don't understand theory per se. Like, I know bits and parts of it. I know basic, like, you know, names of chords, but I don't know, like, voicing extensions. I don't know. Like, I'm not a nerd in that way, but I guess I am in the sense that, like, I love learning it. I love listening and love writing it. Yeah.
You know, I think not knowing is kind of the secret sauce.
Mm.
Because then you get little surprises, you know, and you're not afraid to try anything.
You know? Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I think I just call myself very boneheaded. Like, I just keep trying to do the same thing over and over again until it works.
Yeah, well, I like the self-deprecation, but it's hardly boneheaded. And I think a lot of musicians have like a, I heard somebody talking about Wes Montgomery, and he said he understood, same thing, self-taught guy, and he understood theory kind of the way a motocross bike person understands physics.
Mm.
Like, you kind of work out how to stick the landing, but don't know, you know, but don't know the mechanics behind it, but you figure it out on the fly.
Yeah, and it's more of like knowing it through your muscle memory than knowing it intellectually.
Yeah, and led by your ear.
Led by your ear,
anything. Yeah.
Right, it starts there, and then it goes to a different, you know, you rely on, like, your motor skills to keep you, like, to keep you from falling off and breaking your ankles upon landing if we're staying with the
Core. Yeah. So let's start with this guitar, this Martin Classical. What, tell me the story on this.
just was looking for a classical because
I've seen you do a bunch of stuff on another classical.
Yeah.
Like those garden sessions.
Yeah.
By the way, off topic a little bit, I saw those, and how were you recording those? Because I didn't see mics or anything.
It was all, there was a mic that was attached to my shirt that you couldn't see, and yeah. I was amazed when I heard it back to you, because I had little faith. I was like, this isn't going to, and they attached another one to the strap of my guitar, I'm pretty sure. So that's what was picking up.
The most, like, untechnical recorded ever.
So I'm assuming,
God, it sounded great.
It was these two young kids that like knew what they were doing, but didn't brag about it.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Or maybe they just got lucky because it sounded. Yeah.
I don't know. The jury's out. The jury's completely out. But yeah. So I was playing this nylon guitar, writing songs on it. It was in this tuning.
Yeah.
And it's a hard guitar to it feeds back a lot. It wasn't going to be road friendly, so I looked for the sort of like next best or the more road tested
the big
thing.
Upgrade.
And this was the thing.
Tried and true. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, the pickup's really cool. I like it a lot.
And it came with the pickup. This is just
like
off the shelf. I haven't
changed a thing. Like these are the original strings and everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
God, that's great. Yeah.
I told you, I'm almost like the worst person to talk about gear with because it's not interesting. Like any real like professional would be like, oh yeah, and then I put these strings on and
But well, Madison, you are a real professional.
Thank you. You probably didn't know that this interview was going to be you telling me that.
Convincing me. In case you didn't know, you're great. Okay, and this is specific for some songs, and then you've got a couple others with you as well.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Do we want to?
Yeah, I'll try others.
Yeah. Let's. I love that. That's an excellent start. Now I'm curious though, on the classical tuned way down like that, where do you find classical strings? Do you have to put like, do they make thick classical strings? Or you just pop it down there and it kind of works?
These were the originals that came with the guitar, and then I just got it actually set up 2 days ago, and they basically kind of just like fixed the action so it's tighter against the fretboard, so there's not as much buzz. But it was flopping around.
Yeah, I imagine. Yeah, well, it's.
Here's another.
Yeah, is this a Silvertone?
Silvertone, Rubber Bridge. So I've been.
Wow. What a great tone.
I was kind of doing. It's fun. It feels powerful.
Oh, man. Okay, so when this came to you, was it just a stock old Silvertone and you put in the bridge and the pickup?
No, this came to me exactly like this. My friend Tyler Chester bought it like this. There's a guy named Ruben Cox in LA that runs Old Style Guitar Shop, which you have probably heard.
I'm familiar. Yeah. Never been there, but
I would love it. Yeah. He's the hidden gem, and the not so hidden gem anymore in LA. But he like is so humble. That's I guess what I mean by hidden. But.
So it's especially like weirdo guitars, is that what?
Yeah, well, he's just like he's a friendly human being, and he's like a neighbor. You know what I mean? Like
he's a
neighbor of the community, and he hates the spotlight. But anyway, my friend Tyler like got hip to this, bought this during the pandemic. He lent it to me, and then he made this. He wouldn't let me give it back because he was like, I think it wants you now, so. That's how I landed with it.
How cool. Do you know what that pickup is? It looks like a rail something.
Wish I knew. Yeah. I don't know exactly what this is. This is obviously modded.
First time looking at it, I think it's like a Seymour Duncan rail.
You're probably right.
With a self-fashioned, some way to put it in that sound hole.
Yeah, but it looks like these little screws are keeping it in place.
A very bold luthier just
went right. You can see the crack starting to develop over there. So bold indeed.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I want to hear this thing a little bit more.
Sure. I last night was doing this thing too.
Wow.
Yeah. It's such an unassuming look for how much power it pushes through.
And that bottom end and that, I guess those are just really old flat wounds, just sound huge.
Hilarious. They're brand new.
Are they really?
Like, as of yesterday.
Well, you know, flat wounds, though.
They sound like that. Yeah, that's why I love them and why I come back to them. I don't fret changing them because I know that they're still going to have that integrity.
You know? The greasier, the better. Yeah, that's great.
But also the rubber bridge is helping the make it sound a little more like a cloth over it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
So fun.
Okay, and so right now, you're just plugged into a little Princeton.
Princeton,
little Princeton back there. Is that your normal kind of go-to?
Normal go-to, yeah.
Love it.
Like, even for recording right now, but especially traveling, because it's like, it just it sounds good.
Yeah,
and if you break it.
Carry it in with one hand.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
Much.
Okay, and I want to get into the pedal board, but do we want to do it on this guitar or a different guitar?
Sure, we could totally do that guitar.
Okay, so this is brand new to you, right?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me about this.
This is called a Novo guitar. And I just learned about them. This is one of the most beautiful colors of blue. What I love about this guitar is I'm a huge Jazzmaster fan. And I think this is like a similar feeling, but a completely different take. It's so uniquely its own thing.
Yeah, really well made. They really make great guitars.
So well made. Like, I can tell that this will stay in tune really well. Holds low tunings beautifully.
So are you in C right now?
I'm in drop C right now.
Okay, drop C. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Maybe I'll play my fuzz.
What I'd like, if you don't mind, can you just take us from in to out, like, just tell us about all the pedals and we'll kind of talk about them as we go.
Yeah, so I can't tell you the whole routing, but I can tell you that the in starts at the Ernie Ball tuning.
Volume tuner, okay, cool.
And I believe that the out is the Galaxy.
Love the Galaxy.
Yeah, have you played with that?
Yeah, I've got one. Yeah, they're very, they're just so trippy and analog-y and
so cool.
Great.
I'll just go in order.
Yeah, sure.
This might not be how it's routed exactly.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, just how whatever you're feeling. Let's just hear a little bit of everyone.
One thing I should say, why I enjoy talking about this pedal board. My dad built it.
Oh, really?
He built the body of it and decided to put the two little sort of input outputs in the actual board.
Nice job, Dad. Yeah. So your father, is he a player or just?
He's a player, but he's also a really good builder. And then he invented this little hole in the front of that where the microphone goes, like the stand goes in, so I can it doesn't have to be so far away or displaced or whatever.
That is, that's some clever engineering, like a
so
player's
smart.
Engineering. Yeah.
Yeah, only a player would think of that.
Yeah, because it is awkward. They usually are,
it's awkward. You're like, this isn't natural for what I have to do. So one thing that I love talking about is this Ernie Ball volume pedal, because the tuner stays on at all times. There's a tuner on it.
Yeah, love that. And yours is in red. Which,
it's red. Which, I wasn't going to do that, but then these two pedals ended up being red, so I just decided to just go for it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a fun thing. I have a, God, what is, why can I not think of the, it's a Boss pedal. It's a Boss pedal looper.
Oh, the loop station. Yeah,
the loop station. So I use that for a couple portions throughout the show.
Sure. Okay. So you're building loops live.
Building loops live.
Terrifying, right?
It's so terrifying. Last night it messed up and I just was like, nah. You have to your shame has to be, you have to be very kind to your shame.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
a lot of it.
You know, do you ever find, like when I'm doing it and it'll be a little bit off and I'll think, it's okay. And then, within 20 seconds, like, oh, this is not okay.
And we're both doing it. So it's really like, it's fragile. It's really fun.
Fun. I do love that because you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, you don't. It's a little masochistic for sure.
Right.
And also in the age of like tracks, which I totally respect when people use, I understand why, because it's so expensive to have like an 8-piece band. And I love hearing a full show, you know, but also I really enjoy being the person on stage that's making these different things happen. It's really gratifying. And again, like I said, you have to have a really good relationship with shame because
it's going to crash and burn sometimes.
It will. And it has to, it just will. Looper. And then sometimes I reverse it, which is really fun. I really love that.
Okay, I want to hear an example of this.
Let's see. I would have. Perfect. It makes anything sound cool.
Oh, so it's silly. All it's like the Beatles.
I know. Always, it always works. So we've been doing that.
Okay, that's really cool.
There's a specific part where that happens. Then this. Right now, I should tell you, I have this pedal called the Artificial Blonde, which is actually my pedal.
Oh well.
That I made with JHS.
Yeah. Cool. Okay.
Yeah, it's a bit of a warble. It's the first stereo pedal that they made. So.
Oh well.
But there's two channels of tremolo, so you can kind of like switch between them if you want. There's a deeper tremolo. Which is nice. There's an EQ that I actually use quite a lot. It's an effective EQ on there.
Yeah.
That's always on.
Oh,
never
really?
Turns off.
So you always have somewhere between a subtle and a really extreme tremolo thing kind of going?
Always. It's mainly just the really subtle seasick trem.
Yeah, because like right now in your subtle setting, if you hit a little something. Yeah,
you hear it, yeah. It gives dimension, which I love. It feels like home if that's on. So yeah, acoustic guitar or rubber bridge or this guitar, always on.
Cool.
And I just match the like amp volume to the to the pedal.
See, I like it when people have signature gear that they really use.
Yeah, we were talking about that because I think there's kind of the novelty of making a pedal because your name is on it associated with a brand you like, but it's an entirely different relationship to it when you're like, no, I lean on this. It was made because I needed something like this.
Yeah.
So we based it off of their Emperor pedal, and I was using that
all the
time.
That's
where it started, and he was like, let's just mod it to how you use it. So
kinda
very
good
lucky.
For the, that's cool.
It was really cool. And I also love the Magnetone two-speaker vibrato, so I wanted...
Oh, like the Twilighter, I think.
Yeah. So I wanted that kind of depth of trem.
Without carrying a big old...
Those things are so heavy, and also like I really overused in my youth the Princeton tremolo or just like the amp tremolo, which I just started to wear on me a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
So anyway, there's that, and then there's a slap on right now I have JHS's Milkman on. I have the boost on to get that crunch.
Yeah.
And then here's the. I played this a little earlier. Fun.
Super fun. Okay.
Then I have this fuzz pedal here. Fun to have that always.
Yeah, just filthy.
Yeah, filthy. And also kind of like takes off in these, it breaks up in unexpected ways. I like how kind of like rebellious child the fuzz feels sometimes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then I have this whammy, this giant whammy pedal.
Yeah.
And I use it only for the octave pedal.
Oh, really?
For like a few moments.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah. Because you're already doing such low stuff anyway, and
yeah.
You have that octave underneath it. That's
and because
cool.
There's just us two for this specific tour, sometimes I'm bass player.
Right, and you've got, and so your side person, your bandmate, is primarily on sax or sax and
he's
keys?
Playing, he's playing all the wood ones. He's playing bass clarinet, which is the big, the long guy that you see. Then there's flute and clarinet, and he's running a lot of it through harmonizer and loopers and delays. It's so this crazy thing.
That is the craziest two-piece ever.
Yeah, it's so fun. Yeah. It's like the best fun I've had in my whole life, really.
Yeah, that's a very bold artistic choice.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I wouldn't have it any other way at this point. But yeah, he plays like, you know, synth bass and mellotron and all this other stuff. Then I also have on the other side of the whammy this harmonizer. Sounds really digital on an electric guitar.
Yeah.
So I usually play it on the rubber bridge. It's got this very like wooden sound. I use it for one song only, but it's like when you hear it, you're like, what is happening? It sounds like a bunch of different guitars playing at different sections of the neck. So
cool.
Anyway, I use that, and you know, there's this feature that I've never used
until now.
Until right now.
On a guitar you've never played.
I've never played this guitar.
Yeah, and,
I don't know this person.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's.
See, that's bold. I like that. Yeah.
But that's how I relate to music is by, like we were talking about earlier, that kind of feeling of being lost and then going. Like, that's why I'm not a gear person per se, because I don't have, maybe outside of the Jazz Master, a thing that I'm like, that's my thing. It's kind of just whatever feels like I instantly feel like myself on. I don't know what that always is, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to look for it. Just it'll happen, you know, when it does.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So
more.
Yeah, let's look at some more of these toys. I think there's two more.
Two more. Yeah. So we got the Chroma console.
Yeah, what is that thing?
It does so many different things. It could be, you know, if you wanted it to be, it could be a fuzz. And I love the way that it's colored. Like, some very genius person obviously made this, because it kind of, like, there's these little sort of, like, swatches of colors next to each description. So you know that, like, when you've hit, you know, drive, there's a red swatch next to it. So the button, you just keep hitting the button until it's red.
Okay.
And you're like, that's drive. Right now I'm looking for fuzz, which is green. So there it is.
Okay.
And I'm also gonna have fuzz on. Oh, you could choose your amount. I'm gonna do a lot. And then I also have it on reverse. So you can have multiple effects at the same time.
Okay.
This guy's.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
cool.
I'm not going to take you through everything, because there's so many crazy different, there's interference, there's collage, you can imagine what some of those things do, phaser, tremolo. But
I'm using it just for reverse on this tour.
Cool. Yeah. One of that reverse thing, it almost sounds like, you know, when you see an orchestra and they're tuning up beforehand.
Yeah, it
and
does.
You just hear the weird, all those weird things swirling around.
It's such an underrated like that. Chord. That's one of my favorite parts of like before of orchestral performance. That
yeah.
It's so musical.
Yeah. It's you know something's gonna happen.
And all of the notes are bending. It's like a big warble
right.
chord. It's really special.
Yeah, I love that sound. That's usually what I hear. When I see an orchestra, that's what I listen to right before I fall asleep.
Yeah. That's your alarm yeah. clock? Or that's the sound?
No, just like every time I listen to an orchestra, I will fall asleep during the,
I get
during
it.
The performance.
I really
but
get it.
That's what I hear beforehand. Yeah.
That's
okay.
The last thing you hear every night before you go to bed.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool.
So yeah, anyway.
And then the last is the Galaxy you talked about, but can you play some, show some of the weirdness you're doing with that Galaxy?
Yeah, so I kind of use this to sort of like end songs or find transitions, but basically I've been using it with like feedback all the way on, echo volume all the way on, and then I kind of just choose my echo rate. That's funny. Sometimes you have to kind of play the note
cold,
first.
Yeah, right?
Of stuff for days.
Yeah, I love that. I love the way analog does all this uncontrollable stuff.
Yeah, me too.
And we'll totally get away from you at times, you know.
Me and Jesse were both trying to build our stations in a way that there could be a few elements that would run away from us.
Yeah.
And that has been one of the most fun parts of this tour is knowing when those moments are going to happen and knowing that we also don't know how they're going to happen.
Yeah.
We just know when, you know?
Yeah, right. And I imagine every now and then just goes right off the rails.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I told you, Shame is so important. Yeah. It's our third bandmate. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's kind of the lay of the land. I go, the only other thing to talk about is sometimes I connect the amp reverb to this, you know, the foot switch and keep it near me and turn that on and off.
That's right. So you've got the 60-year-old technology.
Uh-huh.
And then and then everything else.
Yeah, and then the child's technology
yeah.
as well. The playground technology, yeah.
Yeah, so when you're playing, do you spend much time like this down and turning
knobs, you know, and
knobs
things.
And stuff, yeah.
I really try not to. It's all pretty accessible. Like my foot can take care of a lot of it, except for when I'm, sometimes I'll get on the ground to adjust like echo rate and things or the reverse pedal and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I'm mainly like doing all this stuff while singing and playing. So it's.
Sure. You got a lot going on.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. You're entertaining, playing,
it's
singing.
It's a lot to think about.
Oh,
yeah.
God, yeah.
There's some nights where I feel myself going like, I think I was nonverbal. I don't think I said a word. I was so like focused.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's great. Well, Madison, it's such a pleasure to meet you and hear you play. Really, really fascinating.
It's so nice to meet you. Thank you for taking the time.
Okay, check her out. She's come to you. You're out on, this is the first stop on this tour?
Yeah, this is the first stop, and we go all the way to Minneapolis. So we go to New York on the way and other places.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all. Till next
time.
See
you there.